The Manhattan Theater Club's revival of William Inge's comeback Little Sheba, which is currently playing at the Biltmore Theater, stars S. Paith Murchison as a lonely housewife who is married to an alcoholic chiropractor. Ben Brantley of the New York Times calls hers a performance that stops the heart. And I'm very pleased that it has brought Ms. Murchison back to the show today.
Hi.
Great to see you.
It's so good.
Congratulations on the response to this incredible performance.
I hear they're good. I don't read them.
You don't read reviews?
No.
Well, take my word for it. Should I quote another one that make you happy?
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
I've heard they're really good, and I'm pleased, and I might read them after it's all said and done.
Patrick Stewart said that even though you get a rave, they say one thing like, she really wasn't very good in this one scene, and that's all that you remember.
I heard him say that, declamatory, I think was the word that he remembered, and it's absolutely true. So I think to avoid it, I just don't read any of them until, I might read them when it's all over.
William Inge was a successful playwright in the 1950s, but his plays are revived a lot less often than his contemporaries, Tennessee Williams and Arthur Miller. Have any idea why?
I really don't, especially this one, because it's such a wonderful play. I really can't say. We were even talking about how unusual it is that you rarely hear of Sheba scenes done in class as well. There's a great scene in the play for Marie and Turk, and you rarely hear about that being done. I don't understand that.
And yet, Terry Teachout, in his Wall Street Journal review, called Come Back Little Sheba one of the finest plays of the 20th century. I don't know whether it is or isn't, but it is effective, and it really is a great role, although a complicated role, because she's rather naive, needy.
When I first started rehearsal, I was very confused because I had remembered seeing the film.
Oh, you had seen the Shirley Booth version.
I had seen the Shirley Booth version, and it had been years since I'd seen it. I never actually read the play. But as I started reading it, I was really confused at this character. Is she naive? Is she slow? What is the issue? And I think that with Lola, it's just a childlikeness. For her life stopped in high school. And when we meet her, she's nearly 45. So that's 25 years that she's been stuck in this place. And so it was, the difficulty was trying to find that childlikeness of a woman in her 40s.
She got married in a shotgun wedding.
Yes,
because she was pregnant and then didn't, and then had a miscarriage.
Yes, or an abortion. We're not quite sure.
And although we're talking about 1925 or so, there were abortions then, I guess.
Absolutely.
Married to a man who feels that his life was ruined by that marriage.
Exactly.
He wanted to go to medical school, instead became a chiropractor, and he's had alcohol problems, and she's kind of stuck in that 50s. A housewife thing where she's dependent and has never really developed.
Exactly. And very sheltered. And with her marriage to Doc, she also lost her parents. Her father has disowned her. So literally, she's stuck in this house. Her world is in this house.
So did you watch the film again while you were preparing for the role?
No, I didn't.
In a way, because this hasn't been revived as much, does that give you freedom to take it in new directions?
Well, I don't really know if you can say it's a new direction because we didn't make any changes to Inge's script. It's certainly from my perspective as a woman growing up in this country, an African-American woman.
In Dearborn, Michigan.
Not in Dearborn, in Detroit. I grew up in Detroit.
In fact, you went to Cooley High?
Cooley High School.
Which is a celebrated school.
Yes.
They made a movie called Cooley High.
Well, that's the Cooley High in Chicago.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah. Not
named
in Detroit.
The same Cooley? Do you think?
I would imagine Thomas M. Cooley. I would imagine it's the same person. And Wayne State University. But I think that's probably how I've approached this is from my perspective of a woman living in the 50s. Because as a young girl, I grew up in a very multiracial neighborhood, which is sort of odd in the time period that I grew up. But we were many races on my block. We certainly didn't go into each other's homes and have dinner, mm-hmm. but the kids played together. And there were Polish and Italian and African Americans and Asians. So I have an understanding of this period with where I grew up as a young girl.
Well, that could be one of the big problems with a production like this, and the fact that it is colorblind casting. There's no mention of race in this.
I want to interrupt you because I really find colorblind casting, I don't know why that word bothers me.
Okay, multiracial casting?
Multiracial. Because somehow colorblind suggests that I'm not there. And
well,
I think
that wasn't what I'm...
No, of course you didn't.
Simply means that it is not referred to. It's not referred to?
I prefer multiracial or non-traditional. Okay. Because I think that what I bring to it is all that I grew up with, my culture. And colorblind, to me, just suggests that I'm not there.
You surely are there. You're the center
that
of this all day.
See me. But I think it's sort of interesting that people know that I'm doing the play, and they're coming to see me in it. And then there is that question of how will it play, and just because of the way the play is written, and hopefully the way we're performing it, you sort of drop that issue and deal with this couple. I think it's such a compelling story that eventually you lose that, which is why I think non-traditional perhaps is...
Well, how did you wind up in it? Was this your idea? Was this the idea of the director, Michael Pressman?
You know,
you've worked with him on Law and Order. So had you talked about doing something?
You know, it's interesting. We were doing an episode called Acid, which was one of the few episodes written around Van Buren. And so we had a lot of time together. And between lighting setups at one point, he said to me, we started talking about theater, and I said, you know, since I've been doing the show lately, I've been trying to do some theater every other hiatus. And then we just started talking about Come Back Little Sheba. He had the rights to it. And about, I don't know, 2 months later, I get this really long email from him asking me would I be interested in the reasons why he thought I'd be good at the part. And I just responded, hell yeah. I just thought it would challenge me.
We have a clip. We should point out that Lola is described as slovenly, a former high school beauty queen who's let herself go. And here she addresses that.
I was pretty then, wasn't I, Doc? You remember the first time you kissed me? You were as shy as a young girl. I believe, Doc, you trembled so. We had been going together the whole year, and you were always so shy. And then for the first time, you just grabbed me and kissed me. Tears came to your eyes. You said you'd love me forever and ever. Remember... You said if I did marry you, you wanted to die. I remember, because it scared me to hear someone say a thing like that.
Yes, baby.
And then when the evening came on, we stretched out on that cool grass, and you kissed me all night long.
Baby, you gotta forget about those things. That was 25 years ago.
Is it weird to hear yourself doing it?
Because
when you're doing it, you're in the moment. You're not listening to yourself.
Yeah, that's very odd. I'll probably pick up the pace on that tonight. It was really slow.
It sounded fine to me. There's you talked about tears coming to his eyes. Mm-hmm. Tears come to your eyes, at least did on the night I went to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen every night?
You know, I think it's because I'm in menopause. I have no other way to explain it, but I'm able to do that every night. And I just so totally understand Lola in a very clear way. It's extraordinary to me the journey that I've gone playing this character, and I like Lola. I think she's, like so many of us, a victim of her circumstances, but she's a much stronger person than she thinks.
It's also, it must be wonderful working with Kevin Anderson, who is just so great as Doc.
Absolutely.
The run is only until March 16th at the mm-hmm. Biltmore Theater. That's 261 West 47th Street, by the way. And are there any plans to keep it going, or what do you do after that? You go back to Law and Order?
Law and Order, we start principal production on the 14th of March, and so it, you know, I've been
saying... So the writer's strike timed out perfectly?
I've been using the word serendipity. It's just been marvelous. There were a few times where I actually had to go and film Law and Order and then do the play, but it was just incredible how this timing just sort of fell right in the middle of the strike.
Patrick Stewart talked about being reluctant to sign the 6-year standard contract when they signed him for Star Trek. But everybody said, doesn't matter, it's not going to last. Did you sign one of those?
Well, I was told by the agent, who I don't have anymore, at the time that, you know, take this thing. You want to stay in New York, it's not going to last a year. You know,
they told him the same thing.
And it's here, just extraordinary.
And now, as of the 366th episode in the 16th season, you will be the first actress to appear in 300 episodes of a television series. Actually, you didn't start off as Lieutenant Anita Van Buren. You were a mother who, a distraught mother?
Absolutely, yeah, who lost her child because the young man was sent to kill someone, and he couldn't read, so he went to the wrong address. It was an episode written by Robert Palm. It's called Mushrooms, and I think it's probably still my most favorite episode.
Well, actually, it had to have been a real departure for you, because you started in television as Reba, the mail lady on Pee-wee's Playhouse. So
yes.
You've been all over the place, and now you have as I understand it, you're working on a film version of August Wilson's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yes.
And what about that HBO film that I heard about Madam Walker, the famous cosmetics lady?
Yeah, we're still working on that. There've been a couple of scripts, and we'll see what happens with that. But it's very exciting. Very exciting, the things that are happening.
You specialized to some degree in August Wilson plays. You also were in The Piano Lesson.
Yes.
And he just seemed like such a brilliant playwright, somebody who wrote lines that just flow off the tongue. Was he easy to perform?
Yes, in a sense, because you didn't have to work hard. The words were there for you. And then, yes, it was difficult because it was so large, so big, the subject matter. And he was an incredibly generous and loving person, and very funny, extremely shy.
He was on the show once or twice. I can't remember, but when I asked him about Chekhov, he said he'd never read Chekhov, which was really hard for me to believe, because if any writer could be called Chekhovian in American theater,
August,
it would have been him.
Yeah. And what was so great for me was that I'd never been to Broadway, and I'd always said I wanted to get to Broadway before I was 40, and it was so much fun. I was 38 when I did The Piano Lesson, but it was so extraordinary to take the play on the road and be able to work with August as he made the changes on the play.
Now, Patrick Stewart talked about having to carry a play. You're carrying this play. You are on the stage almost every minute.
Right.
Obviously, if you don't work, nothing works. Does it feel like a burden?
You know, it never has. I have been so challenged by this part that every night there's something different for me to see. And working with Kevin and Zoe Kazan and Brian Smith and all the different actors that are on the show, I'm challenged every night. And so, no, I'm weary because it is draining. But this has been so exhilarating because, you know, Law and Order is a great job. It's my day job. I always tease Dick about that. It's my day job.
It pays the rent.
It pays the rent. But I don't have the opportunity to sort of blow out and use these muscles. And so I'm just having the time of my life. It's quite enjoyable.
Well, I am going to quote from one of the reviews. Terry Teachout, he said, Ms. Murkison is a stage actress of the first rank. She brings Lola's melancholy and yearning to life with such soft-spoken understatement that you feel as though you'd wandered through the back door of her house and sat down at her kitchen table for a chat. Mm. Just one more thing. Mm-hmm. You've resisted revealing what the S stands for in your name. Why?
Well, because I like the name Epatha, and people are sometimes lazy, and so they want to say, you know, what comes easiest to them. Mm. But, I also thought that saying that it meant sweet always gave people the opportunity to call me Sweet Epatha. But some knucklehead I went to high school with sort of spilled the beans, and it means
now
Sharon.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm not going to tell, but if you want to find out, you can look at Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly. But that's because of some knucklehead that I went to school with. So it's all right.
He revealed it.
Changed it. I mean, my name legally is Essie Patha, so.
Meanwhile, you're doing incredible things here. And
Thank you.
And I assume that the great thing about Law and Order is that you can continue to work in theater.
Yes.
Is that your real goal?
You know, I love doing the theater. It's, you know, it's where I come from. My roots are in theater, and it's important for me that I get on stage whenever I can to use muscles that haven't been used and to challenge myself. I think what's most important for me is that I continue to be challenged. And so in every opportunity that I can, as long as I have this day job, I have the opportunity to. So,
and it looks like Law and Order will be on forever. So you'll have a day job for a long time. Meanwhile, you have a rare opportunity to see Essipatha Murkison doing something quite extraordinary, her performance in Come Back, Little Sheba, at the Biltmore Theater, the Manhattan Theater Club, on West 47th Street?
47th.
Right off of 8th Avenue.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.